Welcome into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. This is our national edition on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are off and running. Stanley Cup playoffs. Big wins for the home team.
Yeah.
Including the Vancouver Canucks, including the Winnipeg Jets. Some crazy games out there.
You fans out there who watch that Canucks game and watch that Jets game.
That was the old Smythe division.
Buddy, what a show.
Oh, the fans, the crowds?
Yes.
Yeah, the crowds were good. The
crowds were unbelievable.
The crowds were very, very good.
What was it?
I
was waiting for a butt on that.
Oh, no.
Okay.
All good. I mean, it's going to naturally get compared to be like, oh, the suits at Scotiabank Arena, rah, rah, rah. But whatever. That's low-hanging fruit. People love that, so they can have it.
We'll welcome in Adam Oates in a few minutes here. Where do you want to start? You want to start with the fact that Hellebuyck gave up 6 goals and still won?
Yeah. That's, you're the Avs and you're sitting at home today or in the hotel in Winnipeg going, we scored 6 and lost. That's kind of out of ideas. You don't have any other ideas? That's bad.
Can't shoot it in the net many more times than that.
No.
I don't know.
What a showing from the Jets.
A lot of goals, seeing eye dog. Is that what they call them in baseball? Like base hits that find a way to get through? Seeing eye single. Okay.
Seeing eye, yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think there's anything to do with dog in that, Kevin.
No.
No.
All right.
I don't think.
But how many shots went through bodies that ended up in the net?
13.
Yeah.
It felt like an awful lot.
The killer goal, the one that like really seemed to break Gorgiev, was the Adam Lowry coming down off the left wing.
The triple post?
No, the one that he just like kind of fanned on it and it like went through his chest seemingly. I don't even know how it went in, and the body language is bad with him. He's twisting all around. It's not great. So, you never want that from your goalie, but yeah.
There was a Sam who was saying there's a tweet from the Avalanche. You see Antonin, their backup is sick. And so they called up Ivan Prosvetov, I think is his name. And someone said, whoever that is, put him in. That's where Avs fans are with their goaltending right now. But I think the Jets deserve a lot of credit. They created a lot of action around the net. Adam Lowry, you know.
Stud.
What a, you know, the finish he makes on the triple post goal, the patience, the poise. You know, that's a real show of confidence.
Have you ever seen that in your life?
Three posts and it went in.
Would it go down and ride the goal line?
Yeah.
And it was only, I guess, that one snap of a pitcher that it was up on its end.
Yeah.
And you saw some white.
Yep.
But outside of that, I don't know. We'll never see that again.
That's almost impossible to replicate, but I thought Lowry deserved a lot of credit for not just grabbing it and stuffing it into the goalie, taking it around him.
What impressed me the most with that is how incredibly adamant and he was that it went in.
Well, do you see where he was, though? He saw it.
He looked back, and he was kind of like along the goal line.
He had a great angle.
And he's like, I was in. Yeah. And I wasn't sure. Even on the replays, I was watching over and over. I wasn't sure that it went in, but it
defied physics.
It
the way it spun off the post, and that was a crazy one. Yeah. But yeah, they get 7.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, you can't see Hellebuyck having another night like that.
I also cannot see him having another night like that. I also don't think that Jets are built to score 7 a night, but boy, if Gorgiev looks like that, that's a big open door for Winnipeg.
Canucks rally. In our Leaf edition of our show, I went on and I briefly talked about what I liked about the Vancouver Canucks, and you were there to tell me that you did not like their game or you didn't think they looked...
The first period, I thought they looked terrified. I thought every rush they were on, they overhandled it.
Yes.
They just looked, they had 3 shots in the first period.
Yeah.
They were really squeezing it. Some pressure, I think, felt early on.
I think off the one face-off, they didn't establish their responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I think two guys went out to the same point, man.
Yeah.
That led, who scored the first goal there?
Riley was the second goal.
Another seeing eye.
See an eye dog?
See an eye dog.
I think.
Yeah.
Right?
So what did you like that put them in a position then?
I just think that they're a much better forechecking team.
Yeah.
They're much heavier on the puck. They have purpose. If they don't get it, they're well positioned, well structured to cut the ice in half.
And Dakota Joshua and gets the big goals. He's all over it.
Turn pucks over. And I think there was a comfort in them, familiarity.
Yeah.
Where they're like, we just play like we've played all year. We'll get our breaks. We'll get our chances.
That's the best mindset to me. Such a confidence builder for the Canucks to go down at home with the pressure, find their way back through to a win. Then you feel like every game going forward, if they're up a goal, if they're down a goal, you're going to get the same effort. And being a better team, the confidence that come with that, I think that's a huge night for the Canucks in terms of mindset, that, you know, not to panic that this series is slipping away, even if you're down. And then if you're Nashville, disheartening to feel like you played a pretty good game and still didn't get the win in Vancouver. Tough to believe Nashville has much better than that.
I think it's going to be a tight series. Yeah. I still do.
Nashville gets some games?
I think they got a couple in them.
Yeah.
To take this thing to 6 or 7, but after watching last night, yeah, I think they'll probably fall a little short.
But they gave so Vancouver a
just
gift.
Working on OT here, boys. Sorry. Yeah.
All right, okay. They gave Vancouver a gift with the Saros is so good, but the Elias Lindholm goal is not a great goal, right? Kind of goes under his arm and kicks up into the top half of the net.
That one got redirected, and
they hit the D on the way
a tad.
Yeah,
but it he was loose there between his arm.
Yeah, and suddenly the door's open. But I think so. You get that one, and then you get the Demko post to post splits early in the game. That if you're the Canucks, you're like, okay, we got our guy back, we got our difference maker back. That save was otherworldly. And yeah, the energy in that building was awesome last night.
And the physicality, too, I think, is a challenge here. Zadorov was a beast last night for me. Like, he just had such a presence.
Yeah, they out-hit the Predators 41-32 or something like that. It was a pretty lopsided affair that way.
Now, the other thing, too, is, of course, it's nice to see certain guys rise this time of year. I experienced one of the best in history of the game with John Drews.
Oh yeah.
In my early days, I think he scored 14 in 17 games, maybe a couple against Adam Oates' team against the Boston Bruins. All right, Oatsy, let's welcome you in. Thanks for joining us again. How are you, pal? Do you remember that
I'm
name?
Good. How are you guys?
You remember Drews on the loose?
I remember. I was not playing for Washington then, but he scored a lot in that playoff, didn't he?
So I think you were a Boston Bruin, right? Maybe you weren't there yet?
I might have been in St. Louis. I don't know if I was there yet.
90-91. Were you gone?
No, I'm in St. Louis.
Oh, still. You're in St. Louis.
There's so many, it's hard to keep track, right?
It is. Okay, let's start with the Vancouver Canucks in terms of, you know, it's always nice that your best players are your best players, Oatsy, but, man, when you see a guy like Dakota Joshua come up big with a couple of goals and an assist, man, what does that do for the rest of the team, or what does it do to the star players to say, hey, you've got some support?
You know, it obviously great for him, great for the team. They've had a great year. They've got a lot of depth, and, you know this better than anybody. Like, as you're going to go through the playoffs, you're going to need everybody. You're going to need your stars to play like stars, and they're going to get their points. But when your so-called role players can chip in, obviously opening night, you know, it's fantastic for everybody to get on the board. So, you know, huge for them and a big win.
Oh, see, I want to get your take. I know you love to talk about sort of the technical aspects of the game sometimes. I was just talking about a Demko post-to-post save he makes last night. And in the Leafs game, we saw a 2-on-1 where the D-man lies down, you know, puck gets sauced over him. In terms of defending rushes like that, defending 2-on-1s, how do you like to see D-men approach it? Because a lot of guys just default to lying down.
You know, the first thing you got to, as a good defenseman, the first thing they will pick up is which way does everybody shoot? Mm-hmm. So the two guys that are coming at them, are they both lefties? Are they both righties? What side of the ice they're on? And they've played enough hockey in their life that they know this kind of stuff. A good goalie knows that kind of stuff as well, because it does affect the angles coming at them. And, you know, depending on the type of player, he's going to try and make the defenseman move his stick, you know, offensively. And there's a magic moment where I have to shoot or I've given up the pass. And, you know, defensemen do lie down a lot because, you know what, if they're going to pass, now they can't. And I actually don't have a problem with that at the right time, because if a guy sauces it over him, the goalie's got plenty of time to track that.
Mm-hmm.
So the goalie should be there square to that shot.
Oh, so we had a conversation in our first hour a little bit about coaching. And, you know, when it comes to the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, we all think that there's a certain style that they have. And one of them is that, first and foremost, they can score off the rush. They like to push, pace of play. And I'm sitting there going, well, I don't want to see them give up a 2-on-1 in the first 3 minutes either. And, you know, how much can a coach dial in from what he's probably had pushed over the course of 60 or 80 games to, you know, dial it in? Is it possible? Is it not possible? Are you married to a certain style for over 82 games that it naturally just goes right into your playoff rounds?
Well, you know what? Your team is your style for sure, but you've had so many meetings and there's so many adjustments in meetings. For example, penalty killing, right? You're playing a particular team. They want to do this type of style. The penalty killing coach goes over, how are we going to try and prevent that tonight, right? What side of the ice they're on. So there is a lot of adjustments over the course of the season. I would say, you know, game one and game three of the playoffs, every round is critical because you're in someone's home ice for the first time. And obviously opening night, the place rocks. Can you handle the emotion? Can you handle the stress of the moment? We don't want to take a dumb penalty to let their power play get going. We don't want to be over aggressive. And yeah, we got to keep our emotion in check, make the right read. And, you know, I would say the team meeting before the game should be talking about that kind of stuff.
I'm curious to get your take on, you know, so I heard, this is just an example because I happened here in Toronto. Mitch Marner said, you know, we need to get pucks to the net from everywhere on this guy. And I want to get your thoughts just generally in the playoffs on the idea of holding pucks and looking for a great opportunity versus throwing pucks to the net and trying to create as much chaos. You know, there's sort of different theories. And it used to be when I grew up, it was shoot everything. There's no such thing as a bad shot. And it feels like there's such a thing as a bad shot, watching the Leafs power play in particular. What are your thoughts on patience?
Well, you're talking to a guy that there is such a thing as a bad shot, for sure.
Right.
And, you know, you look at this year, everybody's playing this spread out offense, right? So everybody's skating around. And there's been a lot of guys that have had slumps, right? Why? Well, it looks pretty good, but we're not shooting the puck. Where last how many years, we need net front traffic, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm a believer that if a defenseman can get it through at the right time with traffic, you take that shot.
Yeah.
If you can't get it through, please don't get it blocked. Please. It's a wrister, right? Like, that cannot be blocked. Right, there's an alternate play available if you're only taking a wrister. And, you know, there's a magic formula, right? Again, there's time to shoot it. If there's someone open for a better play, possibility, right? If we don't have it, where do we put it? So, and to your point, yeah, I mean, I'm a guy who likes shots, but I'm also a guy that really likes correct decisions.
We're talking to Adam Oates, former National Hockey League Hall of Famer and president of Oates Sports Group. So when it comes to this time of year, Oatesy, and I'd classify you in with any star player today, the pressure of needing to deliver and perform. And what is that like on a day-to-day basis? How do you control it? Sometimes can it get away from you a little bit? You know, Austin Matthews has this incredible season, 69 goals, and yet pointless in game one. And I'm wondering what he's feeling today as a guy that knows that everybody's saying, you have to score.
Well, look what you're asking me. Look what you're talking about. It's one game. But the magnitude of it is already out there. It's already on the media. I turned on ESPN in the morning, and they said he hasn't scored in 7 games in a row in the playoffs. Like, so of course every guy feels that. Right? It, you know what? To act like you're not, that's very difficult to do. So clearly, you know, we need to get him one as fast as possible, right? He needs it. He wants it. And there are going to be nights it doesn't happen. But clearly, the stars have to deliver. It's part of the deal.
Absolutely.
And they know it.
Yeah, of course, right? That certainly, as you mentioned, that weighs on you going into the game. Do you think it's almost easier for a team like the Winnipeg Jets, who doesn't really have, you know, they don't have a leading scorer in the league or one of those guys. It's by committee. And in playoffs, can that be advantageous to have a team where you want scoring from all throughout your lineup?
You do want it through your lineup, but to the point, they got the power play guys. They got a first unit.
Yep.
Those are the guys that technically got to produce. Right. You know, and the longer you have a drought, the more it's talked about. Obviously, in the Canadian markets, it's pretty serious. And even if we're winning, it's talked about.
Yeah.
That's the severity of it. Right. Like we're winning. Let's say we're up 3-1 in the series. Well, technically, if Matthews has the score, you guys are going to be mentioning that, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Certainly no shortage of offense between Winnipeg and Colorado. Yeah. What would both coaches meetings, how would both coaches meetings start today?
Well, I presume that Winnipeg won, so they're a little happier, but they can't be happy giving up six. So you're looking for some solutions. Was it one of those nights? You know, like we talked about, the place is rocking, a lot of goals early. Clearly, we got to clean up defensive mistakes, special teams. You know, you're talking about the whole gamut for sure.
Initial thoughts on the Florida-Tampa Bay series. Florida gets off to a good start. Did you anything in that game, or does it give you a sense that this is going to be Florida's for the taking? We've talked about them all year, but Tampa did have a late surge in the season where they kind of came around, didn't they?
They did, and you know what? When I watched the game over, there was still, just like Toronto, like Toronto had some chances to score early in the game that could change the momentum swing.
Yeah.
Tampa did as well. I think that, Florida better keep Tampa off the power play because that's their bread and butter. That's what makes them tick. You know, they get a lot of power plays, but I also thought Florida played very well in that game. They had a lot of chances as well. Both goalies played well. So I'm not really to give a decision yet on who I think.
What is, OT, correct me if I'm wrong, but were you much on the penalty kill?
Yeah, I killed a lot. Yep.
What does that do for guys like Tavares or other stars that don't kill? And, you know, how important is it that they find a rhythm this time of year a little bit? You know, Mitch Marner is a penalty killer for the Leafs. He ends up playing probably 5 or 6 less minutes, even strength, than Tavares did. You know, are those factors in for some of those stars?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, you think about Patrice Bergeron and Marchand, right? They did everything. They played every situation. They were very critical in their killing. I liked killing because, like you said, it got me a few more minutes. I got to touch the puck more. It's a responsibility. Keeps you in the game. If your team has a lot of penalties, it can really hurt, like a guy like Tavares' rhythm, because you don't get out there that often. So it is important, you know, and obviously a coach thinks of that as much as possible. You know, I would say a lot of guys, there's been times where a player maybe plays too much because he's doing every situation. Some defensemen get in that role. Next thing you know, they're playing 29. But I would say it's a subject that everybody talks about a lot.
So, you know, tonight Connor McDavid starts his series. And, you know, last night Nathan MacKinnon did. Matthews also a couple nights ago. When these guys are keyed on, when other coaches say, here's what we want to do to slow down this elite player, what does that look like? And, you know, what are some ways that those players can still have success despite that?
You know, it's funny, like when you think about it every year, that's exactly what every single coach talks about, every opposing good player.
Yeah.
Yet the good players still seem to survive, right?
Yeah.
So because they're good, right? You know, like, so you're trying to minimize every possible opportunity you can. For a guy to get going, like just, it could be one poke check and all of a sudden Connor's going tonight, right? Like Draisaitl sitting back door, one pass, one rebound, he scores, he's flying. So you're trying to look for every possibility to not let a guy get going, but they are good players. They are going to.
Got to ask you about your old team, Washington Capitals. Man, the Rangers look good.
I thought the Rangers played great.
It's going to be a short series.
Yes, I think so. I do. You know, Washington was 0-for-4 in the power play, you know, and they gave up 2, I think. Like, it just can't happen, right? Like, you know, they played hard. The goalie played good. I think the Rangers are a very good hockey team. You got to find ways to score. And you know what? Like, power play is obviously critical. You know, the Toronto, same thing, right? Boston got two. We didn't. You know, so like the special teams war is very important. But Washington still played a good game. They did.
So while we're touring around the league, is there any chance the Islanders can get more wins than the Capitals? I may be the only person who watched that game, but they played really well. They gave Carolina a run.
You know what? It was 1-1 midway through the second, and the Islanders got three straight chances in front. If one of those goes in, now they're up 2-1, and it's a different game.
Yeah.
And then you never know. Maybe they win 3-1, and we're having the same sort of talks about Aho, right?
Yeah.
It's crazy how this stuff happens.
Well, and
but it is the storylines that we do talk about. And Kipper, you know this. Every guy's thinking that. Every guy.
You know, I'm not saying that, you know, history's following the Carolina Hurricanes, but they sometimes have trouble scoring this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they got their second one. The power play was a little bit fluky. The Islanders didn't clear it. You know, they really got two. They only got two. That's an empty netter, but it's really two goals, and it was 1-1. You know, late in the second, right? So it's they've had a tough time scoring, but they also prevent pretty well.
Without a superstar in Dallas, the feeling is that they may have the deepest roster with no superstars, but exceptional, good, solid hockey players here. Are you expecting Dallas to get through Vegas?
Dallas is kind of my favorite team. They are. I work for Pete DeBoer. He's a great coach. To your point, yeah, they're pretty solid. They got you might not call one particular guy a superstar, but they got a lot of good hockey players, and they play very well, and they got a really good goalie.
Is there any way to have any impact on the goaltending as a coach? Like, my God, it's so much of this comes down to Gorgiev didn't play well for them, or Swayman played great for them. Like, as a coach, is there an utter feeling of helplessness when you're like, well, just hope our guy doesn't stink?
Well, hopefully you don't really think like that.
Is that on a positive angle?
You know what? You want to try and minimize the great A's, of course.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're asking a guy to make saves on players from 15 feet. That's pretty tough to do.
How hard is it? And speaking of maybe not considered a true superstar, but a very, very good hockey player in Mark Stone, how hard is that coming into tonight, you know, but coming off an injury like that, or being more importantly off so long here?
Yeah, you know what? Obviously conditioning for sure. I'm sure they're going to talk about it. I don't know the extent of the injury. How good is he moving? I'm sure they're still very happy to have the impact of him back, how much they're going to play him, all that kind of stuff, to be seen, Kipper, for sure.
Yeah. All right, pal. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time. We're going to lean on you, throughout these playoffs. Thanks for doing this, OT.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
OT.
Appreciate it.
That's Hall of Famer Adam Oates.
The Mark Stone thing. We haven't talked about that yet.
We're not revisiting Sammy's spilt milk, are we?
What? I don't care. I don't care.
All right, good.
No?
No,
good.
I am a Golden Knights fan. I went to a game. I loved the game. I won lots of American dollars on them. I am a fan.
All right, but yeah. I'm not any different than you, where I think it kind of is stinky a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's within the boundaries.
Here's what I will say is that, you know, they made some points. I think it was Kelly McCrimmon basically said the NHL is involved in these processes with like the long-term IR guys. You can't just like say a guy is hurt and have him not play. So I have no doubt that Mark Stone had some spleen issue. I do think that there's a lot of flexibility around he has a spleen issue. We think he's ready. We think he's not. You know, it's subjective. You can't tell someone they're ready to play. So they are hiding behind he did have a spleen thing, and I think they did. I also think they're gigantic fibbers in a good way, that they're competitive, and I get it and all that. But it's funny seeing McCrimmon be like, people say we're just doing this, but the NHL's involved. Okay. There's some shenanigans here. He's back. It could hurt them, though, right? Like, the guy hasn't played in 6 weeks.
I don't know where I saw it. Somebody called him Mr. Game 1.
Mr. Game 1. Justin Williams is Mr. Game 7. You're Mr. Game 1.
If he...
That's going to stick.
Right? is he 60%, 80%?
I've heard his spleen's still in a cast.
Petrangelo? Where's he? Is he healthy? Like, yeah. They're coming in limping.
Yeah. I think it's harder. The longer they go, the better this all looks for them, right? Like eking out a win where Stone gets another game to find his footing and his timing and all that. The longer they go, the more dangerous Vegas becomes. So the whole league, and I bet the NHL, who doesn't want to see this little loophole get exploited, the whole league is looking for them to get squashed out as soon as possible, or this could get challenging.
Just don't, I don't think, you know, I think everybody's going to get mad at the Golden Knights, and it's, you know, of opposing fan bases, you can get pissed off, but like every team uses LTIR. They just use it the best. Yeah. They've just figured out the best loophole. They've got a guy that'll clearly take a dive with his spleen and whatever it was in years past, and he'll take a dive and he'll be ready to go right at game one. I mean, he has to be in complicit with it. His spleen recovered in perfect timing. He's ready to go.
He had a spleeniotomy.
I don't know how to say that. Kind of give him credit for it, to be honest.
The true competitor would do this. This is savvy.
Tonight, game one, Edmonton and the LA Kings. Is everybody expecting a short series here, too?
What is the scenario where LA beats them? And I'm not saying that from it can't be done. I'm asking what does the math look like?
Let's start with a close series first.
Okay. So, what does that look like for them to make it close?
You know what it looks
Talbot
like?
Talbot gets hot.
You know what it looks like? Pierre-Luc Dubois looks like the guy that you signed.
Like Drew Doughty cross-checks McDavid in the neck or something?
I'm sure some of that will go on, but I just think that there's that team in there that got off to one of the best starts in history. There's the team in there that had really good success being big and strong and protecting the puck and making it very difficult to get it back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened to them in the back half.
Yeah.
But if there is some signs of that early, early LA Kings team, then we're going to have a fun series to watch.
This is like Dallas-Vegas, where I think Edmonton just needs to take away any hope right away. Just don't let LA start to feel like... Because an even score is a win for LA, right? The longer they hang around and make it feel like a hockey game, the better.
Well, they've played... This is their third time they've played in the playoffs here now.
And Edmonton's dusted them the other two times, right?
I feel like they went six or seven games. They've played each other a lot over the past 3 years. There's a ton of familiarity between these two teams. I am expecting Edmonton to win. But, I mean, that's a prideful team with the Kings. They got a lot of stars who've won cups.
Kopitar can shut guys down. Deneau can shut guys down. Dubois can be a force. So they have guys.
And he's going to have to find a way to contribute. Too.
Yeah, not be a fourth liner making $8
million. I think it'll be a longer series than people expect, but I do think Oilers will win.
Yeah.
But I think it could easily go six games. I really do.
Do you want to do game time now or after the break?
Let's do it after the break.
Okay, we'll take a quick break here, and we'll get Sammy to set us up with game time. And
also, Sabres have a new coach.
We'll talk about some of the thoughts about coaching, including what's going on out of the Buffalo Sabres. That and more when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Sammy, let her rip, buddy.
Game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play Latest Odds, to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I was just perusing this here. You can bet on the series correct score.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to go through a couple of them tell you what the favorite score of the series is.
Okay.
Would you like to know what the favorite score, what Bet365 thinks is the most likely outcome in Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins?
Boston 4-2.
Boston 4-1 is the favorite on Bet365 right now.
Wow.
Can't even give the blue and white goals.
Plus three. No. Like that's the series score.
Oh, the series. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I thought
the series
you said tonight's score.
No, series score. The favorite is +350.
Can't give them two games. All right. Okay.
Give them two games.
If you'd like the Toronto Maple Leafs to win in seven games, which was Kipper's pick, it's +550. And the Leafs to win in six, which was yours, is +800.
Got some work to do.
+600.
Oh. A lot of work.
We're in deep here. We're in deep as a show.
A lot of work.
The show is in trouble.
Looking at the Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes, I'm sorry to tell you that the favorite for that plus 200 is Carolina to win the series 4-1.
Sammy, how's your boy Freddie in that series?
I didn't see that game.
Do you guys remember who I picked for the Conn Smythe?
It's good. Patrick Anderson. How do you play? Good?
Yeah, it's really.
You took Freddie?
I did.
Freddie Krueger?
Yeah, he played well.
I just think Carolina's super good, and he's their goalie, and they don't have any superstars.
Looking at the Colorado Avalanche Winnipeg Jets one, which we think is going to be maybe a little bit closer. Interesting to me that the favorite in that is, and it's not a big one, it's the Jets to win in 7 is plus 425.
Wow.
So it's really close all the way through there. And just to go back to the Edmonton Oilers, the favorite there is them to win in 5 games at plus 350.
Feels like there's a lot of opportunities in all those series to take game 6 yep. rather than game 5. Take the team they like with an extra game.
And just looking at the games tonight, Leafs are a big dog in Boston, plus 120, minus 140 for the Boston Bruins. So if you think the Leafs are going to bounce back, good spot for that. The New York Islanders are plus 205, huge underdogs there. Vegas, plus 125 in Dallas. And the Edmonton Oilers are minus 170 on home ice in the opening game of that series. Maybe a little bit of value on the Kings at plus 145. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Is it the app for latest odds? Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Dakota Joshua, 2 goals last night, helped lift the Vancouver Canucks over the Predators. Let's get head coach Rick Tocchet's thoughts on Dakota's effort.
Well, last year I believed in him. Like I said, he's a You know, sir, the local guys, I thought he could score 20 goals, and he probably should have if he didn't get hurt. Dakota just doesn't know how good he can be. He knew there was another level there. We just had to whether push him or find it. And I give him all the credit in the world because he, I think he knows now what it's going to take. You know, he needs a, I thought this summer he learned from it. And I think him and Garland together have really kind of added this, like a swagger to our team.
He was in beast mode.
Yeah.
He's huge.
He is. He is huge. 6'3", 206.
And the play by Lindholm, the forecheck to get the puck out, I was just like, wow, he flew in there, makes a great play. And that's Joshua, that's a tough play. The way he drags that more into the middle and goes top shelf, short side, I was impressed. Finish.
So 2 years ago, he played. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say he played 11-23 for the Canucks 2 years ago, like on the season. That was his average.
11-23.
And then 14-23 this year, where he scored 18 times in 63 games. He played almost 18 minutes last night for the Canucks, only behind the 5 names you would know: Besser, Miller, Pettersson, Lindholm.
Do you know where he first started his NHL career, Sammy?
I'm not sure if I do, but
do you remember? Do you know who drafted him?
I didn't know this. He was a Leafs pick.
Was it a Mark Hunter pick?
It was picked a 128th overall in the 2014 NHL entry draft.
Yeah. Kyle had hated him.
Oh yeah?
Why, too big?
Not a fan.
Too big and strong?
Listen, I'm going to defend Kyle Dubas here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's like, look at him. He's 27 years old.
He's 27.
He bounced around a bit.
It takes some time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does. And we just listen to talk, and it's... Sometimes guys get it early. Sometimes they get it late. Sometimes they don't get it at all. And it took a while for him to understand. He's got to work on some skills, some skating, some bring the package together. And now he's put himself in a very good position to sign a very, very good contract.
I will say he's like the perfect, like almost central casting for guy that's about to have a hot run.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Like the guy.
The line he's on, Elias Lindholm is your centerman. Yeah. Connor Garland digging pucks out on the wall in front of the net. Like,
is there a more annoying guy to play against in the league than Connor Garland? You would hate his guts over 7 games. Hate his guts.
Extremely punchable, and I love him. I think he's a great player.
And Vancouver Canuck fans have got to stop saying, we're going to lose him, right?
About Joshua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like.
Just. He's on your team.
He's
enjoy
on your
him.
Team.
Just had your first home playoff games in 9 years. What if he leaves?
Try to enjoy him.
Yeah.
Because this stuff does happen.
Yeah.
Right? Guys get outpriced.
Well, and who knows?
Can't
maybe
afford
he
them.
Won't. Just.
No, he will. What do you mean he won't?
Well, it's just whatever. Who knows?
I'm just saying, though. Yeah. Like that's, but I used to do that too. And it's like, no, just stay in the moment. Don't worry about it. Just
you
try
a great team here.
Try to have some fun. Take this for a conference final, Stanley Cup final. Try to win the whole damn thing. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid, though.
You know who looked awesome in that game? Mm. Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, he did. Great shot.
And killing penalties, just playing heavy.
He's just such a pro.
God.
Right?
Wish he was. Like the spotlight. Wish he didn't hate Toronto so much.
Well,
imagine they had Ryan O'Reilly right now.
Listen, and is he a better skater than John Tavares?
I wouldn't say a ton.
Not a ton.
But just a little bit more economical with his movement.
I think
he's effective in different ways.
He's
right?
Just
he's a defensive.
Yeah,
defensively committed. Checking.
I think he understands the 200-foot game a little better.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's going to be a good series. I was impressed with Nashville last night. They easily could have won that game. So that'll be a good series.
All right. We also got a Kippers Clipper out of Bednar. Sorry. Head coach of the Colorado Avalanche on his goaltending.
This is a great clip. It
was... It probably need to be better. Right? Like I thought we played well. We created some chances. He made some good saves, but we're going to need like a couple more saves than that probably to win. You know, so, but it is what it is. We'll regroup. It wasn't like we made some mistakes in front of him that we'll have to clean up and try to get the job done. It's a team game.
Like I sometimes feel sorry for coaches because. Yeah. It's so easy to say the wrong thing quickly, and then it's gone forever, and you can never get it back. And that's why you get the
It's just like there's no. First off, reporters have to ask the question. Obviously, it's an important topic to get the coach to weigh in on. But yeah, like when a guy stinks, you can't burn him because your backup is Jussi Ahonen and Ahonen's hurt and you've got Ivan, Provorov. It's not Provorov. Prozvitov.
Sportsnet Stats
to say.
Put out Gorgiev's numbers against the Jets in 3 games this season?
Good.
642 goals against.
We suck.
785 save percentage, boys.
What do you do? I mean, what do you do?
You just can't win.
No, the Connor one where Kyle Connor gets a puck in front of the net. He's a lefty. He's in traffic. He doesn't really get it up. And Gorgiev is so low, it goes over his glove.
And even the one in the power play that's a one-timer, Gal said it best. He's like, I know. It's a, like, you got to make a save for your team.
Yeah, they
like,
clocked that when he hit at 81. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like he hit a
He was in position.
Just went under his, hour. Yeah.
What does he make? Like,
well, he was the Rangers guy, and they were like.
I know, but he was never, like, considered a bona fide starter.
It was a big deal to get him.
No, it wasn't
there.
That big of a deal.
Well, no, but
remember it as a big deal.
I remember him being the guy.
3.4 times 3.
Yeah. Okay. Until 3.4. Until when?
10-2.
My whole point is that you were never sure about this guy. It was always with like the potential.
Yeah, that's
like,
why it's 3.
He
not
cried
6.
He cried in New York that I want a chance to be the number one goalie. I'll never get it here with Shesterkin. And Colorado said, we'll make you the number one goalie.
Yeah.
Maybe the new analyst on Sportsnet shouldn't be analyzing. You should be playing in Colorado, Jake Allen.
He's the ultimate when you Colorado, I guess, is the ultimate, like, goalies are running backs. Like, they didn't believe, who was it that they let go to Grubauer to Seattle after he won the cup? Was Grubauer in net when they won the cup?
No, Washington.
It was Kemper.
Kemper and
Washington signed him.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and the ultimate for Colorado, and then it's like, we'll just get this guy. Goalies are all the same. He's probably just as good.
Yeah.
Like, if a guy has shown you he can do it, maybe just keep him. I don't know. Winning cup's not that easy, so tough spot for a pretty good team to have a guy who can't make a save.
Yeah, they played so good. They were awesome in that game.
Who's that?
Colorado.
You liked him a lot?
Yeah. I mean, they were all over it. He scored 6
McCarr's goal.
Oh, my God. McCarr's so good.
Oh, my God.
He's
good.
So good.
Vancouver, don't listen. He's my favorite guy in the
league. Oh, I love Quinn Hughes, and I've said a million times on this show, but, like,
hey,
I know who I'm taking.
Hughes versus Yossi is pretty good, too.
It is. You see Yossi's clapper off the bar? Yes. Like, I mean, he almost split the puck in two.
Yossi down the wall and then cutting into the net is really impressive, too.
I was actually thinking, like, maybe one of the more underappreciated inevitable Hall of Famers in the NHL is Roman Yossi.
Oh, we're doing the underappreciated thing with him again?
Well, okay. Well, underappreciated as Hall of Famers go.
Okay.
Because they do have him in that classic.
Oh, yeah. He's playing in Nashville.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's tough when you're there. By the way, a little Quinn Hughes love when I looked at some stats in terms of puck touches on the year, like how many times you carry the puck. He carried the puck 700 times more than the next highest guy.
700?
Which was Erik Karlsson.
That include warm-up and practice?
Yeah. And at home, he's just stick-handling in his kitchen. Anyway, point is, he has the puck and controls the game like no one else.
I just love the way he gets that puck through on the tying goal for Vancouver. Just that low, gets the shoulder down,
snap. Still good walking the line. God. It's a very good
So if there's some superstars feeling the heat to put the puck in the net, Sam Reinhardt doesn't.
Well, so movement on the power play, right? The goal he scores where he comes around the pile and gets the backdoor tap in, which I don't know how no one else saw, but.
That's going to be a war. That series.
It's going to be a good series.
All right. Let's go to one of our favorites on Kipper's Clipper, Paul Maurice.
Well, he goes to the net at the smart times, right? Like he scored within a 15, 20-foot area, that net from all different sides, both sides of the net. I've always wondered, like, Matthew Tkachuk is so great at that. It's almost like Reinhardt kind of learns, right? He's watched it, the way he rolls across the front of the net. I wonder if it's, in some ways, a bit of a mentor. He is... Why is he so good? Because he's a goal scorer like that, but he'll be on the ice at the end of the game. And also killing penalties at the end of the game when we've got a one-goal lead. If you were to ask me what's his greater value, I don't have an answer, except that nobody else should try to sign him in the offseason because he's got a terrible attitude.
That's, you know, I like to make fun of Maurice. That's funny. That's a funny thing to say.
It's really funny.
If I'm the GM, I'm like, shut up. Stop it. You're like, not helping.
He got terrible.
He's really... Him and Zach Hyman mirrored each other, right? Where you go, okay, maybe on a good year there's 30 goal scorers, but how do you go from that to 55?
Like you play with one of the best players on earth for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but I think you know he's better offensively.
Barkov's not
on his own. Yeah,
right.
He's not playing with Connor McDavid. He's playing with Barkov.
Yeah,
Barkov's very good.
I know he's very good, but he's not like a 100 guy. Good.
McDavid is like, hold your stick out near the net and I'll shoot it off it a bunch of times. Barkov's like, we're going to play at that end the whole season.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different type of help.
It's true. It's like, we're always going to be in the offensive zone and the puck's going to land on your stick in good spots and you're still going to have to shoot it in.
Shoot it, yeah.
But it's going to be in good spots.
Yeah.
I think that series is going to be awesome.
Very, very good. All right, let's touch.
Would you sign him? Would you try to steal him from Florida? Sam Reinhardt?
I am worried about his ability to repeat
this. Anyone that needs scoring that can afford him.
That's what Borny said.
Yeah, and I'm worried about not having Barkov to give him or whatever. Like, if can he drive a line for me? Do you believe he can drive a line?
You know what? I just go, is he a winner? Do I want that guy representing my team? Yes.
Yeah.
That's where I start.
Yeah.
I mean... Overpay, yes. Maybe give him an extra year or two, yes. I get all of that, but he's not even 29 yet. I don't know.
I worry about his foot speed as he gets older too. So,
I know. Yeah. I get all of that. I just think he's a winner.
Awesome player.
Just take less and stay with Barkov.
Yeah.
Live in Florida. You know, that sounds like it's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and it should. If I'm him, you know what I'm doing? Signing with the Florida Panthers for a little less.
What's your first offer? Sounds good.
We're in. Let's rock and roll.
All right. Sports that don't listen to my negotiating skills.
Before we went to break, we mentioned Lindy Ruff returning to the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes.
So I
reunited, and it feels
probably
so good.
What happened was the Buffalo Sabres looked at the Ottawa Senators, and they saw what great success it was with Jacques Martin coming back. Why can't we have that too?
I think they probably, Pegula probably looked at his team and said, the last time we were in playoffs, who was the coach? Hire that guy.
Well, listen.
It's a weird one.
He looked like a pretty good coach in New Jersey for good stretches here. And I think he kind of got
didn't have
railroaded
a goalie.
Without a goalie here. So to be fair to Lindy,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of good coaching still left out of him.
Yeah.
And he's got a great relationship with Kevin Adams. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lindy gave Kevin Adams his first start.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, boy.
On the bench? Wasn't Kevin Adams?
Oh, like he was an assistant for him or something?
Yeah, I think so. Look that up, Sammy.
I'll quickly Google that.
All adding up.
Well.
And he probably doesn't command what Berube is going to command or, you know, whatever you think the big name is this offseason.
I would think that this wouldn't have to cost them $3 million.
Yeah.
But
in Kipper, in 2011, 2012, Lindy Ruff was a head coach. Kevin Adams was a assistant coach. Mm. And that was along with goalie coach Jim Corsi, who ruined hockey.
But all these all right. guys.
So there's a connection there.
Yeah, Kevin and Adams talking with the Pegulas. Well, yeah, I got a name for you. And they're both like, I do like that guy. We've had success with him.
Yeah.
So what happens now is Lindy just signed an extension, right?
Is that right?
Well,
with New Jersey?
With New Jersey. Yeah.
Actually, then Buffalo just pays that deal plus maybe a premium on it.
Yeah, that's the way it works. They have to, which I think stinks for the coaches.
I agree. You should get both contracts.
I'm sorry. Hold on. You fire me.
Really?
You owe me.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, they get to piggyback off of
the old deal.
What?
Yes.
So New Jersey's like, great.
So they just take the contract from New Jersey? That can't be true.
No.
I'm pretty sure it is.
This is the way it works, okay? You have Lindy Ruff under contract for 2 years.
Yeah.
You're paying him to stay home.
You're not paying
him. Right?
Yeah.
You're paying him to stay home.
Okay.
Lindy goes back and says, well, I don't want to stay home. I want to go coach the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, right.
And then they say, okay, we'll let you go. But they pick up your contract.
Huh.
Hopefully Lindy said to Buffalo, also, I would like.
Which, again.
And a lifetime of Lenovo wings, too, please.
Needs to change. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah.
Like, players get to get bought out
and keep,
yeah, and keep get, the money.
You can get triple paid if you get bought out a couple times. Other series we haven't talked about much, Rangers, Capitals. We do have a clip on the great Matt Rempe burying.
Buddy, people don't want to. They don't want to see him turn into a player.
He's a stud.
They just want him to.
Think so?
Oh, there's people cheering against Matt Rempe.
He's awesome.
He took a penalty early in that game.
What he represents.
Do you see the play with Trevor Van Riemsdyk where someone clipped Lindgren, TVR saw it and jawed at the Rangers, and Rempe came up and just put his arm around him and was like, a reminder, I'm here, pal.
Do you want to listen to Laviolette talk about Rempe?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't think of a player that's come in and had that impact on a team, on a fan base, on a city. If you watch him and you look at him, he just smiles. You know, he's just happy, loves being here, loves to play the game, and he's been great. But I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
I love him.
Rempe?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I love him.
Love
too.
Him.
Me too.
And what I love
I'm
him
all,
is
oh, he's the best.
Shocker, you two. He's completely disrupted the National Hockey League.
He
completely.
Has. Oh, yeah.
When you force the Devils now to go get a guy, and there's other teams now this summer, they're looking for guys. Where is he?
Mm-hmm.
Get a guy.
Yeah. No, so he just
reminds. Now he's starting to turn into a player.
Yeah.
Reminds me of like a chocolate lab or something. He's just happy to be there. And what are we doing? And oh, was I overzealous there? Did I hurt him? Well, sorry about
that. Did you see his first penalty?
Yeah.
No.
Garbage call.
Garbage
he
call.
Hammers.
Garbage
Rempe call.
What was it? I did see it.
It was just a body check.
Yeah, it was.
All. He's having a good old time though. What is? He made a name for himself this year.
Well, boys,
four games on tap tonight, boys.
Heading to the torture chamber.
Give me some scores here. Toronto, Boston. Give me a score.
4-2 Bruins.
You got 4-3 Leafs overtime win.
All right, 3-2 Leafs. Islanders, Carolina. Do they go up 2-0 Carolina?
I think Islanders win tonight.
Okay.
No, I got Carolina too. Vegas and Dallas. Dallas takes a 1-0 lead here.
Yeah. Vegas wins. 3-1. Mark Stone overtime winner.
Oilers over the Kings by how much?
8-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
Two goals?
4-2.
Enjoy your games tonight on the Sportsnet Network. And we're back tomorrow on Real Kipper and Bourne. You get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great night, everybody.